Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
UMFM. This is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Mike Lawson, kicking things off for us tonight. Montreal band DVTR with a new single called Les Olympiques. Kind of a protest song about the cost and environmental impact of the games, but I have been enjoying parts of the Olympics happening in Paris currently. Shout out to all the Canadian athletes, of course. To the women's soccer team that has been fighting back against the boneheaded moves of their coaches, and particularly to the organizers of the opening ceremonies, who caught some strays for a bunch of conservatives who thought that they were making fun of a painting. Anyway, enough about that. Coming up on the show tonight, I have a couple of interviews, one with Cease, who I've played a couple of their singles in the lead up to their EP Free Burn, which is out today. They're celebrating the release next Saturday at the Handsome Daughter, and I got the chance to talk to them earlier this week. I also spoke to Sage from Shred Kelly. The band from BC is back playing the Lyric Theater as part of the free summer stage on August 11th. We will get into that in just a bit, but I've got a new single from Kelly Bado. She dropped it off this week, or rather sent it in this week. It's called Typical. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
I'm gonna breathe so bold. not your typical. I'm not your typical.
Couple of their tracks, Love Me and How Should I Love You, but the album, or rather the EP, Freeburn, gets its release on August 10th, next Saturday, at the Handsome Daughter. Cece joins me on the show to talk about it. Welcome.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Big fan of what you've put out so far. Excited to get a chance to talk to you about it. Now, I was reading up on your Manitoba Music bio, and it says you grew up in Spain in part. Is that right?
So I grew up here, and it wasn't until just after university I lived in Spain for a couple of years.
And what led you to Spain? Was it music?
It was sports. I grew up playing hockey, which is kind of what brought me to the States first for university, and then what brought me to Spain. My dad's side of the family is from the Canary Islands, so I went there, you know, to get my citizenship to be able to play for Team Spain.
Okay. But has music always kind of been like a side thing to sport, or did you get into it kind of once you were done with sport?
I think I got into it a lot more in university. I ended up quitting hockey and then joined the gospel choir at my university, and it really led me to I guess pursue that passion more. And then when I was living in Spain, I decided to, you know, make an EP. My first EP under different projects, and that's when I released that.
So that first EP, it was a solo project as well?
Yeah, it was like a folk singer-songwriter project.
Sure. So you went from a gospel choir and like obviously singing in a group and performing other people's material to then doing your own thing. How did you make that initial leap?
Yeah, I grew up in choirs. I was in the children's choirs, and then in an a cappella group and the gospel choir in university. And I was always writing throughout this time. Like, I guess I started writing at the very end of high school. And I actually studied poetry, so that kind of also led me to like be constantly writing. And then I just wanted to transform that into my own music as well. I love playing other people's music. I love and enjoy like singing with other people and playing music with other people as well. But I also, you know, you don't always have other people. And I released the first project during the pandemic, so I was alone a lot and writing and playing a lot of music. So that's, I think, why that project was so individual.
Right. So then it's moving away from like the folk sound to what you've kind of landed on with the new music. Was that a product of like what you were listening to, or was that always something like a sound in your head that you just couldn't achieve on your own completely at that time?
I think it was a mix of both. Definitely my production skills have increased to the level of where I'm able to like more exemplify, I guess, like what's in my head. And also like I've always been listening to like a mix of stuff. I grew up listening to my parents' music, which is a lot of 70s soul and funk. And so I think because I started with like folk singers and other stuff, I was with my guitar. I was kind of alone in my room mostly. That's kind of how that project came about. And then in the last couple of years, it's really been building this new kind of sound. And so that's what we bring.
So the soul aspect, so the references to Curtis Mayfield and Marvin Gaye on your bio, is that your parents' influence?
Definitely. Yeah, I listen to a lot of Curtis Mayfield, a lot of Al Green, Marvin Gaye growing up.
I was thinking about those artists in particular, at least Mayfield and Gaye, because known for a little bit of like pitch and like falsetto. And yeah, I was curious if like that, like using the voice as an instrument in that way was, mm-hmm. was part of kind of what the appeal or the, like the stew, the yeah, sonic stew was.
Yeah. I it's actually funny. My dad loves to do, I guess, like impressions, and he loves to sing in his falsetto. Mm. Arguably whether it's good or not, that's, you know, up to anywhere else. But, so I think that's also like what led me to a lot of that, you know, because he really loved like Curtis Mayfield, mm-hmm. and Marvin Gaye. And so I am more influenced, I think, by like the backing vocals of that era and like the layers of that. And then for like pitch shifting, format shifting, that kind of stuff, vocal manipulation, I would say I'm more influenced by like in recent years, like Frank Ocean, Snow Allegro, kind of like Charlie Wilson, like vocal manipulation.
Right. So when you were talking about kind of like developing your production skills, like did you purposely sit down and say like, I want to get to the point where I can achieve what I'm hearing in my head?
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted that. I've just continuously worked at it, and I've, you know, watched a lot of YouTube videos, met a lot of great people who are willing to teach me their tips and tricks too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like constant evolution.
So for songwriting for this stuff on the new EP, like how does it start for you? Like, is it a lyrical idea? Is it like a melody, or, you know, is it a drum pattern? Where are you building on?
It's definitely a mix, but let's say like my most common way of writing a song would be to probably, like one of two ways, would be to sit down with the guitar and just like strum out, you know, think of some like chord progressions, think of something, hum some like melodies without words, and, you know, later add some lyrics. Or I'm often very influenced by other art, and so I'm listening to other songs or reading books or poetry or any number of other forms of art that then inspire me, and I often start with lyrics that way, and like in a notebook that I carry around with me. Which doesn't mean that's the final version of what lyrics would look like, but definitely a lot of like influence and, you know, some changes to the form of the final lyrics.
You'd mentioned Frank Ocean, obviously, you know, an out musician. How much does like the queer aspect of things matter to you in terms of like the like material and the songwriting and the lyrics that you're singing, like representing mm-hmm. kind of your identity?
I think it's interesting because I think it's mostly tied to rather living kind of as your true self rather than necessarily being like queer or whatever it is, because it was like a very intentional and I guess like a push to myself to start, you know, using different pronouns and stuff in my music, or like song butter more explicitly queer, which was kind of hard for me, especially, you know, like music is vulnerable to begin with, but then, you know, knowing that your family's listening to music, but whoever's listening to your music, and like writing content that is so explicitly yourself or explicitly queer. I think it isn't just a musical decision, but it definitely is a life.
So kind of the fact that like people need to know you or will get to know you through this is kind of not necessarily daunting, but like at least kind of like gives you pause.
Yeah, it also allows me to live my life more authentically.
Right. Now, as far as the material, as I mentioned, we played Love Me and then How Should I Love You, the two singles that you kind of rolled out in ahead of Freeburn. How much thought did you give to like which tracks kind of come out at which point and what goes on the EP, like that kind of decision making?
Yeah, so this particular one was pretty easy because I had some of them recorded and others not.
Ah,
So
okay.
yeah, so like Wet Pain and Waste of Love, I recorded just like a couple of months ago at No Fun Club, and then the rest were recorded at M Studios. Be Good, I intentionally didn't want it to be a single because it very much feels like it should be part of a project, and is actually one of my favorite songs to play live though. And so that's why I decided to do Love Me, How Should I Love You, and Sabotage Yourself first, because they were also like written and completed long.
You mentioned, that you love to play certain things live. Do you have tracks that like either are too hard or you just can't deal with live that you just don't include in your live set?
Well, it's really funny because because of all the different production elements, I've only recently started playing with backing tracks, which is really nice. But Love Me, for example, it's different when you can sit down and record 8 million takes of something. So yeah, I'm gonna push myself. I decided I was gonna push myself with that one and sing very high for the verse. But when I perform it live, I have to pitch it down like three like semitones because it's so high. Obviously, if I get like 10, 15 takes at it, that's fine, and I'm in a relaxed environment versus like having to perform on the spot. It is.
Yeah, the tightrope walk of the live show. Speaking of the live show, like the EP, are you doing it front to back, or what's kind of the plan for the night?
It won't all be in order. Some of it will, because for example, like Wet Paint and Waste a Minute have a nice transition between them, so both will be together. The rest of it will kind of just be sprinkled in, not necessarily in order, because we aren't just playing those songs. We'll also be playing other, maybe some unreleased ones, some new covers. So it'll just be kind of.
And you've got Taylor Jackson Halves opening, is that right? And tickets are available through Real Love. What's the best place for people to keep tabs on you? Are you active on IG or what's kind of your social media of choice?
I think Instagram's probably my social media of choice. My website's also updates like shows and all kind of stuff. Seekmusic.ca, and through the website, you can actually sign up for a newsletter that I, put out maybe like once a month or whenever there's like some like release or some like fun information to keep up with. Then I make a cute little newsletter and send it out.
Sure enough. So that's CECC music.ca. Before I let you go, Cece, I want to get you to pick a track off Freeburn we can play for listeners. And if you have a reason why you're picking it or an anecdote about it, love to hear that.
Yeah, you know what? I'd love to hear Waste in that because I actually got, I really wanted to, the sound was kind of like a big choir for that. And I got a bunch of friends to sing on the chorus of it. So a bunch of like band members and other friends and people who don't necessarily consider themselves singers. So it'll be really cool for them to go themselves up to.
All right. Well, we'll give that one a listen. A reminder, you can catch Cece's Freeburn EP release show next Saturday, August 10th, at The Handsome Daughter. Tickets at Real Love Winnipeg. Cece, thanks very much for taking some time to join me on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Spend it together. to extend the pleasure of your heart, of your thank you.
Back here on Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. Right before the break, the lead-off track from Welsh band Slowly Rolling Camera's new album, Silver Shadow, we heard Rebirth. Cease before that with their pick from Freeburn. That was a track called Waste a Minute. They are releasing that next Saturday night at the Handsome Daughter. Definitely check out that show. The album, the EP rather, Freeburn, out today, available online. Epic and Rob Crook's collaboration is called Nassau Manor, out on Han Solo Records. I'm going to play you the track Saskatchewan because it kind of references summer road trips. And that is the topic, or at least one of the topics, of my next interview. I spoke to Sage from Shred Kelly. The BC band is making their way across Canada, coming to Winnipeg August 11th and playing the Lyric Theatre as part of their free summer programming. So we'll get into that in a second. But first, this is Epic and Rob Crook with Saskatchewan.
Every summer we pile in the station wagon and drive 5 hours west of Regina, then 3 south through Assiniboia. Never had a cabin to go swimming at the lake. All our vacations were taken to a small town in Saskatchewan with a French name. A Chinese restaurant, a co-op, a motel along the main road. A church, a Catholic one that was on First. My grandparents' house was on the outskirts of town, where the darkness came in from the fields each night and devoured it down. And so many cousins, we grew apart as we grew up. They were into fistfights and goth brooks, pink parties lit up by pickup truck headlights. Uncle came up from the basement, never so scared in my life. He put the bed next to a furnace that I'd swear was alive. The adults were in the kitchen smoking. I overheard him talking quietly to my father, listening stoically. He said he woke up from sleep last night gasping for air. He was pretty shooken up, and tell you what, it can't be easy, that's for sure. He sat in his chair in the living room, I was on the couch looking down, the oxygen tank hissing, his trembling wax paper skin. My dad leaned next to him, tears welled in his eyes. I'm sorry I never gave you anything. Shh, it's okay, it's okay. We all made jokes the whole way home to cut tension about our family of hicks in Saskatchewan. Even dad laughed a bit. Seems so soon we all went back for the funeral, a black tree casting a long shadow over a new open hole. A fenced in yard down the highway not far from town, a gray sky stretched in every way, every direction. In my dad's black pants and ill-fitting dress shoes, try not to draw attention to my ignorance of their rituals. Like when handed a wafer, the priest whispered, put it in your mouth. He was in my aunt and uncle's kitchen later, drinking rye and ginger ale. I carried the casket with 5 other cousins. I couldn't believe how heavy it was, raised it above the void that had been dug. And all my uncles had died of liver disease, cancer, hepatitis. If I saw my cousins now, I wouldn't recognize them. I'm not sure when I'll get a chance to go back in my flesh. I haven't been south of Moose Jaw that time since.
Mic up a micro smidge.
All right, well, it's becoming an annual tradition. We talked to them last summer before their appearance at Blue Note Park, but Sage from Shred Kelly coming to the Lyric Theatre at Assiniboine Park this summer, August 11th, after playing Trout Forest. And for folks in Winnipeg who make the trip out, you'll get 2 chances to see them over a short period of time. Sage, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So last summer when we talked, the album hadn't come out.
Yeah, it got released in October, so we were just sort of doing a few dates in the summer and playing a few songs just from the single around that time. So we hadn't released the record. So a lot has happened since we last talked.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, so the album, obviously you've toured it in front of a lot of people, but it's also been nominated for the Western Canadian Music Awards and had some acclaim as well. Now that, like, were you road testing some of the songs at that point, or were they all kind of like locked in over the summer and the album was going to be what it was at that point?
No, at that point, yeah, everything had been sort of recorded and mixed. And I think we were just waiting on sort of the album to get like pressed on vinyl and CD at that point. But so all the songs were already written and recorded and then on their way to getting It turned into physical copies. So, but we were still road testing some because we often, most of our sets are generally between like an hour or an hour and a half. So even from the new record during even the album release tour, we usually play about 4 to 5 songs, maybe tops from the new record. So we were still kind of testing out which ones do best live and which ones are maybe better suited as just tracks to enjoy on the album.
Yeah, when we talked last year, you were talking about kind of your roots as a jam band and kind of realizing some of the things that work on stage or in a gym are not necessarily conducive to a record, and kind of having to figure out song structure. And it sounds like also maybe set structure is something you have to figure out.
Yeah, because some songs we really love the recorded versions of. And I feel like this is the same with even artists that I love. It's like the songs that I love listening to the most on a car ride or while I'm working are not necessarily the songs that I love as much when they play live. It's always something like something more dynamic that they kind of put together, or something sort of that's like a bit of like a show-stopping moment that you haven't heard before on a record, that are sort of like the moments that make you go like, oh, this is really cool, instead of the songs that are played exactly how they are on the album, which is always lovely too. But sometimes it's like the moments you remember from a live show or something that you have not heard before.
Are you thinking of other people's performances and things you enjoy about them when it comes time to doing your own performances? Like does that factor in? Like, hey, this is what I like as an audience member, so this is maybe what I should try to do as a performer?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, sometimes like a lot of our set is very high energy, and I was recently I've been at a few concerts where there's like a moment where kind of like everything is really stripped back, which we don't really do a lot of, but I've been starting to recognize just in like my own, what I enjoy is like those moments where you're at like a very like high energy concert, and then all of a sudden everything just comes down to like just like a voice or a voice and an instrument or something, and like how that kind of has been like the moment that I have been really standing out for me. So I've been trying to incorporate something like that because we don't really do that very much, but that's sort of what I've been enjoying recently as an audience member is like I enjoy all of it, but it's like those moments really stand out if it's like a very powerful set, and then a few like songs that are a stripped back moment has been really impactful.
Is it like the stark contrast, like you've been kind of high energy and then it like quietens you down or something? Is that what you like about it?
I think so. Yeah, I think that that's what, yeah, I think that that's what I enjoy, because I don't necessarily in the right environment, I enjoy attending a concert that's like very mellow if you're in like an atmosphere that sort of lends to that. But typically if I'm at like a festival or an outdoor concert or something where I'm standing, I generally like it to have more energy. But then when that moment happens that's like stripped back, I just find it to be really powerful.
So you're in the midst of a big summer tour. What's been the highlight so far?
Oh boy. I think so far we played Ottawa Blues Fest this summer, and our slot was right before Mount Joy, who we're a big fan of. So I think that that was definitely the highlight so far of this summer, was getting to perform just sort of on a stage of that size in front of a band that we're all really big fans of at the moment. So kind of getting to watch their set and then kind of have that experience at one of the larger festivals was really fun. But we love all of the performances have been great. Like, we just love playing live. So all of the performances have been super fun, and all of the audiences have been great. So there hasn't been a dud yet.
So the Mount Joy, did you watch them side stage or backstage, or did you go out into the audience to see them like as a regular kind of like fan of the band?
A little bit of everything, sort of like a bit of side stage, and then for a few songs went out front so we could have that vantage point. But we also tour, we probably mentioned last year when we spoke to, but we tour with our daughter a lot. So she was with us backstage. So there was so we didn't get to watch, like our other band members got to take it in a lot more than we did, but we were sort of also like parenting, so trying to keep tabs on a a 5-year-old in a large crowd. So tagging off songs that we could each watch and then kind of chasing her around and trying to find food backstage.
Absolutely makes sense. Before you hit Winnipeg, you're going to be hitting Kenora, your hometown.
Yeah. We'll be there the night before.
So getting some time in the old hood.
Yeah. So yeah, it'll be fun. We're playing under the Jarnell Contracting Pavilion there, so it's always a fun show getting to play. It's an outdoor free event there too. So there's, I believe, the one at the Lyric is also outdoor, and so yeah, so it's lots of opportunities to kind of see us in. For people who maybe haven't come to a show before, it's two chances that are free to attend, to come out and have a dance with us.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So the Lyric show, obviously last year, the Blue Note show was a ticketed event. Like, does it change things in terms of the audience? Like, do you find that there is a difference in the audiences, or are people just there because they're interested in the music?
It can vary for sure. Certain shows, like ticketed, it's like all people who are there for the music, and then sometimes at free shows, people are also there for just sort of like the experience or being out with the community, and then maybe stumble across the music. So you might be playing to less people who are like all existing fans, but there's also sometimes an increased opportunity to make new fans, which is always nice. So yeah, there's definitely benefits to both. It's nice when you look out in the audience and everyone there is singing along, but then it's also nice when you bump into people after and they're like, "Oh, I had no idea what was happening tonight, and now I'll definitely come next time you're in the area."
So, like engaging with existing fans versus potentially making some new ones. Now, before you guys went on tour, you released a video for Blissfully Unaware from the album. And I read a quote that you were quoted in Canadian Beats about, you've experienced anxiety over the past few years, and that this song kind of comes from that or speaks to that. Is this like kind of like COVID related or like climate, or I mean, because obviously there's a lot going on in the world that could conceivably create anxiety, but you're saying, other people seem to be unchanged over the past few years.
Yeah, I think definitely like a bit of both sometimes, or like kind of everything. I feel like I'm just really impacted by the news, and I think Tim, my husband, is too. So I think like oftentimes we're sort of like having lots of conversations around like things that we're reading, or sort of like things that we kind of have to like be concerned about or mindful of. And then we like in having conversations with others, it's sort of like sometimes it's like, "Oh, that's still a thing." Like, is that something we have to worry about? Not everyone, obviously, but sometimes you'll just sort of be like, "Am I the only person like that's experiencing this anxiety about everything that I'm reading, or are other people also experiencing these things and just masking them publicly?" So it's just sort of like you get caught up in your own mind about like, is everyone else just like existing normally, and I just have all of these kind of like thoughts of dread constantly in my own mind, or is everyone kind of experiencing the same thing and just having to like go out into the universe and act as if everything is okay?
Does parenthood play a factor? Because I know for me, I'm like much more concerned about like what the future holds as a parent.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I think absolutely, because like, yeah, there's often like, yeah, when you get to a real high point of anxiety, there's always like, yeah, sort of like that dread of like, what's the earth going to be like in like 50 years from now, and like, in will it be inhabitable, and will my child have a place to live and kind of like carry out. And like even this summer with like all of the forest fires that are happening and seem to happen like every year out west, it's like lots of communities are evacuating, and friends are often saying things like now, or like people often are saying like, "These, I don't remember this in my childhood," like having like summer to like have your bag packed and be ready to like flee at any point from kind of like catastrophic disaster. And you just sort of wonder like, "Oh, will my children have the same opportunities or the same experiences that I had, or will they just sort of kind of be living this life of just trying to like escape disaster?"
Yeah, I was driving with one of my kids on the weekend, and I was like, "Oh, I think this sky is dark, not because of like a storm, but because of the fires that, mm-hmm. you know, like that I don't think growing up was something that I registered.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like, I grew up in Manaki. So I remember we did have one fire in the we did have one forest fire that kind of shut down the road between Manaki and Kenora when I was in high school. But that was sort of like the first time that it had ever really been close to us that I can recall. And it was also, it felt like a really isolated incident. Like it was like, oh, that was really out of the norm, or like kind of like a crazy thing for it to like have shut down the highway for a few days and for there to be only like access to local traffic, and thinking like, oh, is it going to reach the town? But that wasn't something that you had to think about like every summer, or like it wasn't always happening, it didn't seem.
Right, a perpetual or ongoing issue. Mm. The single that you released, I mean, it came from Blurry Vision, which you said, you know, released last October. The like kind of life of a record these days, because I know we talked about kind of like choosing singles in the lead up, because at that point you only, had only released a couple tracks from Blurry Vision last summer. Like, how long of a trajectory do you think of an album these days?
Yeah, it can really change. Like sometimes I think often artists are releasing more prior to the album, because a lot of times once the album is out, sort of like the build up to it is kind of over and people can move on to other things. But that being said, the internet is also kind of a crazy place and just like at the music industry in general. So we released the album in October, and then we like at the launch of the album, we sort of, there was like a bit of stuff happening around it, but nothing too crazy. But then in March, it was like on, there was like a song that was on like the Breaking Alt countdown. And then it kind of got, there was like some radio traction for a song that we had released a single for in September, which just kind of like randomly happened later in the cycle. So it's just, once the songs are out there, I guess they can like take a shape of their own in like on the radio, or they can, you know, take on social media, something could connect with people afterwards. So that it's kind of like an odd, there's no way with the internet of knowing how things will land or when they'll land. So I guess once they're out in the world, they always have a chance to connect with people, and who knows what will happen from that point on.
Is that True Detective quote, time is a flat circle?
Yeah.
When I was looking up some information to see if you'd done any interviews recently, I came across the fact that you'd done some book recommendations for CBC in the past. Are you do you read while you're on tour, or do you, with your child, do you not have much time to do that?
Yeah, I used to read a lot more on tour, like in the back. I would kind of like crush books in the back of the van. But yeah, since traveling the last 5 years, traveling with a child, it's mostly in the back of the van. I'm just like a snack handler. So no time for reading books.
Do you have like a tablet for them to watch stuff on, or what do you do with the trying to pass the
hours?
Yeah,
I do a little bit. We have a tablet, but our daughter gets car sick, so she has to only if she's looking at a tablet. So we try to, if we're doing a drive that's like sometimes under, I'd say like 4 or 5 hours, we try to do it without a tablet. And if we have to like crush a long day, then she can have like some medicine for car sickness. But otherwise we just kind of try to like play games, and she'll usually have a nap, and then we listen to audio like songs and sing along and things like that. So we try to just reduce like using it all the time, but yeah, we definitely use it sometimes.
What's her go-to music?
Oh, Frozen.
Yes.
We listen to a lot of musicals.
Sure. Makes sense. Is she excited for Moana 2?
Oh, when does that? I didn't even know. When does that come out?
I think it's like end of this year. My youngest is very excited for Moana 2.
Yeah, we actually just went this past weekend. We went to see Frozen, the musical, like the Broadway production in Spokane. So we drove down there to watch it. It was epic.
Very nice. Well, she gets to pick the music, I'm sure, in the car, but I'm going to get you to pick the music here on the show. I want to get you to pick a track off of Blurry Vision we can play for folks.
Okay. Let me think. I'll try to think one that the ones that we've been playing a lot in the set recently have been, we've been playing Lost Without You and Another Time quite a bit in the set. So if, between those two, or sometimes we play Blissfully Unaware as well.
Well, we'll figure one out of those three.
Right. Yeah, I can't choose.
I know. It's like the hardest question I seem to ask as artists is to pick a song. August 11th at the Lyric Theater. But as we mentioned, Kenora the night before on Trout Forest Music Festival before that. Sage, safe travels. And thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk.
Yeah, thank you so much. And enjoy the rest of your day. And talk to you again, hopefully one day soon.
We got a house made, a little home on a piece of land we don't know. It's all we need to be satisfied with the life we're trying to live. And we'll shelve all of these big ideas, keep it small for a while, find a new one. Appreciation for what was there all along. Ooh, I'd be lost without you, lost without you, my love. Ooh, I'd be lost without you, lost without you, my love. Now we take turns bearing all the weight, oh, all the weight of it all. 'Cause it's too much for one to carry, you're always there when I fall. Ooh, I'd be lost without you, lost without you. Horrible for fear.
You broke your fever thinking of everything you adore about living like a smell of Earl Grey in the morning. The one you love just sitting there smiling at you. Tulips on
back here on Thank God It's Free Range. Right before the break, Madeline Roger with Fever Dreaming, the latest single from her forthcoming record. Had the chance to talk to Madeline in advance of the Winnipeg Folk Festival. You can go back and listen to our conversation about working on that record. It's available on Festival Express. If you go to UMFM's special programming, or if you follow our SoundCloud, you can check that out and get into details on the record. Speaking of past people I've talked to, Teen Days, back with a new record out called Elegant Rhythms. I'm going to play you the track Backyard. Then we got some Hakushi Hasegawa out on Brainfeeder, and we got a few more before we hand things over to After 8 Radio. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
I can't. Listen. Good underneath, get dirty now like you want a clean. Don't make your back jump like trampoline. Girl, take note like Monopoly. Woo! That's so trip. My body make man run call police. Them big so them want to squeeze me get no cop to your beast. Sit down pan it, we no quick like in a sonic. Rip off me clones and get all manic. Me a breathe heavy like me asthmatic. Me na panic, legs start shake like sick crack addict. Me na want shy man, me can manage. Conservative Johnson, get embarrassed.
Dirty, she want to me dirty. My man love it dirty. Wine and tell you dirty. Spit and kiss me dirty. She want love me dirty. Undercover dirty.
Flip a tempo, the head and the tail get tasked. We both have options, truth or false. We both done crying, river falls. She still a car. Stuck on the girl like she do witchcraft. She a work on a pair of me Cleopatra. That dog like Anubis dog. A Cyrus got without. Walking, everything broke down. Me need a melanin skin tone brown. $100 with $100 rounds. Couple more shots, I might.
Dirty, she want to me dirty. My man love it dirty. Wine and tell you dirty. Spit and kiss me dirty. She want love me dirty. Undercover dirty.
Dirty.
Stinking monkey. More grease than a 12-piece Kentucky. Top me club with him bucky. Leaf. Don't pum pum dopey. Dopey. Get yucky. Like glass dim very wet and muddy. I must profess I'm in love with the body. Clump up my hair turn this girl naughty.
Dirty.
I cannot get enough run at my battery like I was a Tesla. And slamming like I was a wrestler till I then just like a Beretta does. Grind me as ever cause I will play that E like I was a piggy mad no minute man. Cause when I was the minimum I am insatiable. Get at ya really rough.
Dirty, she want to do me dirty. My man love it dirty. Wine and tell you dirty. Spit and kiss me dirty. She want love me dirty. Undercover dirty. Dirty, she want to do me dirty. My man love it dirty. Wine and tell you dirty. Spit and kiss me dirty. She want love me dirty. Undercover dirty.